From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this wonderful program called Coast to Coast AM. Open lines at the half this hour, next hour. Why some people are opposed to fluoride in our drinking water. You'll find out why. Well, according to a self-described expert on Yellowstone, you were supposed to evacuate your home during the recent swarm of earthquakes in Yellowstone National Park if you lived in that area. Well, he now may face criminal charges for his predictions of doom. After hundreds of small quakes shook the park in late December, Christopher Sanders, a 35-year-old natural gas developer from Texas, he created a webpage and a video advising everyone within a 200-mile radius of Yellowstone to get out of there, to evacuate. On January 1st, he posted an alert on a personal website warning in red letters that a super volcanic eruption could be imminent. At the top of his page, he placed a United States Geological Survey logo under the heading Yellowstone Warning, and that's where he's gotten into trouble. That drew the ire of the USGS, the federal agency that actually has the authority to issue a volcano warning, and that saw no imminent threat there from the earthquakes. On January 2nd, the USGS began taking legal action to get the page removed, arguing that the page falsely created the impression that it was official information. A spokesperson for the USGS said the agency's legal department is considering filing legal charges of impersonating a federal official and using its logo without permission. How cold is it in the Midwest? Very cold. Temperatures crashed to Arctic levels as a severe cold wave rolled across the upper Midwest on the heels of yet another snowstorm, closing schools, making most people think twice before going outside. Thermometers read single digits early in the day as far south as Kansas and Missouri, where some areas warmed only in the teens by midday. How ironic that I would leave St. Louis before all this bad weather would occur. Israeli troops have entered the suburbs of Gaza City and are engaged in street fighting with militants. Witnesses said Israeli special forces had advanced several hundred meters into several neighborhoods and that intense gunfire could be heard. Earlier, Israeli planes attacked more targets in Gaza as Israel's offensive against Hamas entered an 18th day. Now, you know, Israel does have a right to defend itself, but now things are getting out of hand. A UN watchdog, meanwhile, has accused Israel of showing a manifest disrespect for the protection of children in Gaza. The UN Committee on the Rights of the Child said now that more than 40% of those killed in Gaza were women or children. And even though the Israeli government had signed a UN protocol condemning attacks on places where children were likely to be present, it is time now, I think, for Israel to end its movement into Gaza, pull back, and let's get the United Nations to try to negotiate some kind of fair peace before this truly gets out of hand. Here's a recall by a company called Stork Craft, recalling 535,000 baby cribs. If you have one of these, listen to the story. They were manufactured in Canada, China, Indonesia, and imported by Stork Craft Manufacturing of British Columbia, Canada. Now, they are being recalled because the metal mattress support brackets can crack and break, and this could cause the mattress to collapse and create a gap where a child could get trapped or suffocate. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is aware of 10 incidents of support brackets that broke. In one incident, a child was trapped between the mattress and the side rail with no injuries. The cribs were sold at JCPenney, Kmart, Walmart, and other stores around the country. They were also sold online. They were available between May of 2000 through January of this year. One of life's greatest mysteries is how it began, and scientists have pinned it down to roughly this. Some chemical reactions occurred about 4 billion years ago, perhaps in a primordial tidal soup, or maybe the help of volcanoes, or possibly at the bottom of the sea or between the mica sheets to create biology. And now scientists have created something in the lab that is, what they say, tantalizingly close to what might have happened. It's not life, they stress, but it certainly gives the science community a whole new set of data to chew on. The researchers at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California, created molecules that self-replicate and even evolve and compete to win or lose. It's amazing. Game show host and comedian Howie Mandel's irregular heartbeat scare is over. According to his publicist, Howie has been released from the hospital, will be back at work tomorrow. He's 53 years old, checked himself into a Toronto hospital so doctors could monitor his condition. He was in Toronto filming segments for a new show, Howie Do It. The hour-long prank show debuted on NBC on Friday.
Howie Mandel's going undercover as a waiter.
I like to have my finger in everything.
Do you want cream and sugar?
Sure.
And a bunch of some ice.
Just try that and tell me that it isn't the most delicious thing you've ever tried.
I'm doing my water.
All right.
Some friends of mine are producing this new show. They worked with me on Into the Unknown. That was the original sci-fi show that we had done. Mandel is the host of the American version of the game show Deal or No Deal, which has brought huge ratings for NBC, but they say he's doing well. Patrick Swayze, who is fighting pancreatic cancer and is currently in a hospital with pneumonia, is doing fine, according to his mother. He sounds really upbeat and positive, according to Patsy Swayze. The Dirty Dancing and Ghost star checked himself into a hospital last Friday, missing a conference that he was due to appear at to promote his new TV show called The Beast. A British adventurer plans to set off Wednesday in a homemade vehicle which can transform itself from a car into an aircraft in minutes, and his destination, Timbuktu. On the ground, the Skycar runs on a biofuel-powered engine and can accelerate from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 4.5 seconds. But with a powerful fan on the rear, its takeoff speed is 37 miles an hour. And once in the air, it can fly at speeds of around 70 miles an hour, cruising at 2 to 3,000 feet with a paraglider-style canopy holding it aloft. At 9 a.m. Wednesday, the inventor, Giles Cardoza, will leave London for the trip through France, Spain, and North Africa across the Sahara to the fabled desert city of Timbuktu. We wish him well. On coasttocoastam.com's hot story, take a look at the UFO turbine debris sent now to German forensic scientists. 65-foot blade from a 290-foot turbine fell off, and a second was bent in a very mysterious incident in England. Hundreds of local witnesses claim to have seen bright flashing spheres in the skies above the turbine. They say they are convinced that the damage was caused by some kind of flying saucer. The scientists at manufacturers Enercon have been looking into the mystery. They have dismissed the theories that either a chunk of ice thrown from another turbine or something that fell from a plane was the cause. Now, the Ministry of Defense, some insiders have reportedly said that these UFOs could be unmanned stealth bombers on test flights. But who knows? In 1943, the USS Eldridge and her crew were involved in a top-secret military project, as you know, called the Philadelphia Experiment. The objective was radar invisibility, and the results were less than desirable, and they produced a series of unimaginable events. Only a few men apparently survived that experiment. Two of the men had jumped from the ship and landed mysteriously in the Army base at Montauk, Long Island in the year 1983. This time and space leap that seemed to just take moments is part of Al Bielek's intriguing life story. We'll be talking with Al for a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, a great privilege to introduce longtime guest here, Al Bielek, who is no doubt a time traveler. Even though he did not plan to be a time traveler, here he is back on Coast to Coast. Mr. Bielek, how are you, Al?
Well, I'm still alive and kicking after a grand tour of the hospitals and various medical facilities. I wound up here in the Florida coast in a little town called Punta Gorda.
You are a fighter, Al, I'll tell you that. You don't give up at all. So what's new with you?
I'm sorry?
What's new with you, Al?
What's new with me? Not very much of anything except I've managed to survive a tour of the hospitals and medical facilities and so on. So I'm in my own little apartment here in Punta Gorda and found a place that has not only some very nice nurses, has some very good food.
Well, that's great. You know, Al, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on for this moment here is just to thank you over the years. You know, since I first heard you with Art Bell just many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And just what you have brought to this program in terms of just keeping our minds alive to this possibility of what happened to you many, many years ago. You are due a thanks from us, Al. So on behalf of everyone who is associated with Coast to Coast and who listens to this program, my friend, thank you for everything you've been doing for not only this program, but to keep everyone thinking about the possibilities.
Well, that's one of the things today that is necessary. People must keep their minds active and about the possibilities. We're going to go into a period of time coming up with a new administration. It may be extreme turmoil, and it's not that I'm wishing Mr. Obama anything bad, but he doesn't know what he's in for.
Yeah, he's been handed a gauntlet that I think is half full.
Right.
And if that, you know, when you back in 1943, when you were part of that crew and part of this experiment, as you look back now over all these years, Al, are you glad that you were part of that experiment, that Philadelphia experiment, or do you wish you had never been on that ship?
No, I would not say that I wish I had never been on that ship. I cannot say in honesty that I'm glad that I was part of it, because too many other people died and suffered on that ship unnecessarily due to the fact that the original work was never laid out properly. The experiment was rerun in 1953 on another ship in an aircraft carrier under the control of Dr. John von Neumann. The Navy, after the war was over, asked him to reopen the thing and see if they could, if there was anything that could be salvaged. And he found the problems and salvaged it. And he's also known as the father of the modern computer. Though in those days, they were not solid-state devices. They were vacuum tubes. But vacuum tubes work just as well.
Sure. You know, you jumped ahead 40 years, Al. 40 years of your past life gone in an instant. And,
right.
You know, I was thinking about that today when Tom was telling me you were going to be on with me. And, you know, if that had happened to me, and I would have been in my 20s, late 20s, 30s, like you were at the time, and if I had any kids, I mean, they would have been 40 or 50 years old after I came back.
Yep.
I'm not sure I would have wanted to go through that, Al.
If you look at it in perspective, I don't know whether I would have wanted to if I had choice in the matter, but I didn't have any choice in the matter at that time. It was an experience which I would not have any desire to repeat, but it's what happened.
How do you feel from some critics, Al, who say, okay, maybe there was some experiment, maybe they tried to cloak a ship to make it invisible, but come on, crew members didn't die, and they didn't disappear, and half of them weren't in there with their bodies in the ship, and the rest in some time warp. Well, how do you feel about that when you hear them say that?
Well, I can say is a I have no concept of what really happened, and the powers and forces in this universe, which most people have no concept of. There are scientists today, of course, who have done some very advanced research. As I was watching on TV the other day, the search for the temperature of absolute zero, and how do you measure it? And that sort of thing. Some of the current research is or what has been current research, it's been very interesting because it has taken us over the gap in trying to learn some new physics and what really goes on and the things that go on in this universe that most people have no idea of and no concept of. And the fact that we're not alone in the universe either, that's one of the biggest problems trying to get people to accept that we are not alone in this universe. It's a big universe, and there are other civilizations out there who've been watching us for quite a while.
As you look back at your entire life now because of all of this, Al, what has for you been the most rewarding thing of your life since you leapfrogged some 40 years into the future?
What was the most rewarding aspect?
Yeah.
The fact that I was able to take a look at things as they will occur in the future, and that mankind has the resilience to bounce back in spite of some very bad situations, some very bad aspects of timing, and some very bad aspects in the human nature of not understanding so much of what is going on and attempting to understand. Man must never lose his perspective of the fact that there are others in the universe, that we're not alone, and that at various times, these other agents, agencies, peoples, and groups find their way to contact us. And we may just not understand it at all at the time. And this is one of the problems of going on through civilization, trying to learn what it's all about and some of the various problems that are going to be coming up that our new administration is going to face. And the president, his interview, final interview tonight, alluded to, and that he and his wife handled things as best as he knew how. He was not perfect. But the problem is, you do what you have to do at the time and try to understand what you're doing and where you're at.
Would you like to be able to leapfrog 40 more years into the future at this point?
Frankly, I'm not sure, because I know too much about the problems that are coming up. And I don't think I want to have to go through all of it again.
Yeah.
But that is what happened, and one has to learn to live with it and learn that those are the problems that did happen and exist, and that, yes, some scientific experiments go very, very awry and very sour, and there's a cost in human life. The only way we ever gain any knowledge, it seems to be, with a great deal of cost.
The other person who jumped ahead with you at that time was Duncan Cameron.
That's correct.
Your brother, I believe.
That's right.
And I guess he's gone through many of the same things that you have.
Yes, he has, but he finally got out of it and wanted nothing more to do with any of those aspects. He remained part of the Montauk Project 4 years, but then he got out of it and just became a common ordinary. I won't say common ordinary, but he became a carpenter doing his chores and building homes and repairing homes and developed an entirely new set of skills and turned his back on the past.
How old are you, Al Bielek?
I'm sorry?
How old are you, Mr. Bielek?
Well, officially I'm about 82, 84, something like that.
Well, you stay strong, Al Bielek. And once again, thank you for bringing us a remarkable story. It's Al Bielek. I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line, 818-501-4109. Well, next hour, we start our special report on fluoridation. You're probably drinking it. Let's find out if it's any good for you or not. We will find out in a moment. Hey, have you signed up for the free Coast Zone newsletter? Very easy to do. Go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Right there on the homepage, you will see the link. Click it. Fill it out. It comes to you via email, the free Coast Zone newsletter. And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and let's go to the calls. Bryant, first-time caller in Syracuse, New York. Hey, Bryant, how are you?
I'm good, George. I love your show, and I love you.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. Ditto.
You had a guest on the other night about language backwards.
Yes.
And my children had a toy when you would say a word and you push a button and it would go backwards. And one night I just wanted to try another language, so I just said the word Salvador Dali. And when I played it backwards, it said, clear as day in English. You are both of us.
it does work.
I like his art. Yeah. But if it's related to somebody's unconscious, you would think that it would say something different for everybody. But
I'm going to start listening to some of my speech backwards, which sometimes sounds like I'm talking frontwards anyways, and I'm going to listen to it.
Well, just wanted to add that. Nice talking to you.
All right, Brian, let's move on to Clear Lake, Texas. Julie, you are on Coast to Coast. Julie, good morning. Cold there, Julie?
Just a little bit, actually.
You're not getting blasted like they are in the Midwest out there, are you?
No, I think the tilt needs to come a little bit further this way.
Well, you don't want it.
No, I don't think we want it. But by the same token, in our desert regions where plants never have grown before, they're starting to grow. So there lends some credence to the tilt theory.
That is weird. What's going on?
Well, what my question is, which I do have some friends that are geologists, and they work for agencies which, you know, obviously they want to remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of concerned about these Yellowstone...
swarms.
Yeah, the storms, the earthquake storms.
Swarms.
Yeah, absolutely. And they feel that because of the disruptions that there might be the... cataclysmic volcanic eruptions in, you know, that whole area of the country, which might lend credence to what Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, had prophesied, that perhaps the West Coast might fall off the map and San Francisco might be its own island kind of thing, you know, so Nebraska, all the breadbasket states might perhaps be the new West Coast.
Well, we know, Julie, that the number of earthquakes there recently is unusual. Geologists and scientists are baffled by that. They are glad that things have calmed down a little bit now since December, but they still keep a watchful eye on just what's going on there. As everyone knows, that is a super volcano. It's a caldera, and if that thing goes, it could be devastating. It's overdue. Apparently, it explodes every 640,000 years in a big way, and it's overdue. So who knows?
It's a ponder.
All we know is one fella got in a little trouble with the USGS because he told everybody to evacuate, and he used the logo of the U.S. Geological Survey. That is not the right thing to do. Let's go to Texas. Glenn, east of the Rockies, it's your turn. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, I found some cryptic information in the new X-Files movie.
What'd you find?
It's after the end credits, and you see Scully and Mulder in a rowboat in apparently some kind of tropical island setting. And there. Oh, by the way, did you see it?
I don't remember seeing that last scene. I must have left.
Yeah, I think a lot of people missed it. But it's actually a CGI shot, and you're made to believe that it's not, because they give you a faux helicopter shadow as it right before the scene.
Okay.
And the helicopter shot pulls up and out, and they're rowing in some small bay. And the helicopter is several hundred feet above them. And they turn around and wave to the helicopter. And, you know, it's kind of like a, I guess, where you get closure, they're saying goodbye and whatnot. But on the bottom of the bay, there's all kinds of cryptic information.
Like what?
It's really neat. It's really astounding. I can't believe I haven't heard more about it.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's Roman numerals and images of past episodes. It's there's a lot of stuff there. There's on one side there's an image of a winged demon, a horned demon.
How come nobody saw this but you?
It can't be just me. I mean, it's plain as day. It's really astounding. And I think since David Duchovny was on some talk show just...
just recently.
Well, yeah, and before the X-Files movie, by a matter of weeks, and implied that, as far as he was concerned, he'd love to do another one.
See, now I'm going to have to go back and take a look at that and see what you're talking about. Let's go to the Big Island of Hawaii. Jason, you're up. Hi, Jason.
How's it, George?
Okay. How are the Cokie frogs out there?
Yeah, not too bad over on my side.
Good. What's going on Hawaii?
Kind of mild. I've been wanting to tell you a story for a while.
It's your turn.
Yeah. So I'm 16, right? And there's a guy walking around the world. He calls himself What's Your Name. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy.
No.
I've always wondered whether he had anything to do with it or not, but a lot of so-called coincidences started happening to me all the time, and I was really seeking truth, and I was going to all sorts of different outlets for that, Course in Miracles, anything I could find. And one night I'm sitting there, and something shoots through my body and comes through the top of my head and goes to the bottom of my feet and just totally exalts me. And I kind of see everything that's going on in the world and everything that's happening, and it all makes sense, and it all seems to just have reason to it.
What's happening in the world? That's the big question.
Well, back then, I remember having just a vision of, you know, things in the Middle East and just any, you know, tragedies around the world. And a voice just kept going in my brain saying, truth is love, truth is love. And everything just felt okay, even though if all the tragedy and everything that was wrong and going on, it was all okay, and it was all part of the divine plan. And I just burst out in tears. It was way overwhelming for what I could comprehend at the time. And I slowly faded out of it. I called a guy that was leading the Course in Miracles group, and throughout the next couple of days, I reached out to every figurehead that was surrounded me in that, you know, society that I lived in.
Well, look, Jason, some people get some kind of inspiration that affects them for the rest of their life, no matter what it was. And that could have happened with you. Pauline in New York, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Pauline.
Hi. Hi, George.
Hey.
I'm so glad you had Al on. I'm glad to hear his voice.
Yep, okay? Sure is.
And do you know how to reach them? Did he mention?
You can go to our website, and there's a link to a website that's been set up for him.
Okay, perfect. The other question is about your book. You have a second book. Do you still have people interested? Are they still doing any
No, they're starting to edit the final version of it weed out some of the things that Bill and I put together. So that we've locked that up.
All right. That's my question.
That's it?
Those are the two things
that's
I wanted
it? You
to
may
know.
Not be able to get in for another 6 years. That's it?
No, I've gotten in a couple of times with you.
Well, I know that, but when was the last time you got in?
Christmas. I asked about...
You know we have a 30-day rule here.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Tom,
I told him that. I was Tom the last time I was here.
He didn't say anything about
nope.
that?
Nope, he didn't. He didn't tell me I couldn't come back on. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Well, maybe he likes you. Maybe you're a favorite.
Because I asked about this question. I actually wanted to ask about Al, but I didn't. I came in the middle of it, so I didn't even hear the first 15 minutes. I did want to know about your book, so
okay.
That's probably why he said he'd let me come through. Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye. Tommy, do your job. Hickory, North Carolina. Mike, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I've been listening to the show for years and years, and I think you do a great job. Man.
Well, Mike, I'm glad you support us.
All right. I have a question about the guest you had, Al.
Al Bielek, yes.
Yeah, I actually didn't do any research about him before I called, so I just happened to get through, so I was like, hey, I'll wait. And
have you heard about the Philadelphia experiment?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, he apparently was one of two who was pushed into the future, and you remember the movie that was done on the Philadelphia experiment?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And, you know, they talked about a couple sailors that were pushed. Well, he apparently was one of them. And it's a remarkable story. I've interviewed him a lot of times now, and Art interviewed him a long time ago. I got to tell you, it's a weird story. I have come away with believing that in 1943, the Navy did try to cloak a destroyer. They tried to create invisibility. They used it around Nikola Tesla's theories.
Right.
And something went wrong. I also believe that. Now, did these guys get pushed into the future? Al Bielek says yes. Who knows anymore? Who knows what's possible and what isn't? But I'm convinced something happened back in 1943.
Right. Now, when he says he got pushed into the future, he jumped off the ship in 1943.
And popped up in Montauk, Long Island, in 1983. So he jumped ahead 40 years.
So did he actually age 40 years?
No. He stayed the same. He stayed whatever his age was in his 20s in 1943, and now he's 82. So we can just subtract that from 83 to where we are now and subtract all that from 82, and we'll know how old he was at 43. You figure it out for me. Tell me. But it's a remarkable story.
Yeah, I had I do believe that they did an experiment. I believe maybe at first they just wanted to try to make the ship disappear from radar.
Mm-hmm.
Then actually they got more than they bargained for and went through, I don't know, some kind of time warp or...
They tried to cloak
it. I've heard all different versions of the story, so...
It is. It's one of the great stories of all times. Columbus, Ohio, first-time caller. Hey, hello, Jack. Good morning.
Oh, how you doing, George?
Okay.
I have really love and appreciate you so much. I've been trying for a long time to get through, and I work third shift as a security officer at night, and been out here patrolling in the snow, and I said, well, I'm going to give this thing a try again. And I was just so excited to get through to you, because I tell you what, I really love and appreciate the spirit that you have upon you, and I just think you're just a wonderful person, and God in heaven needs people like you out there, and I just can't say enough about you and the rest of the people with Coast to Coast, and I've been listening to you now for about 2 years.
What do you watch security-wise? What do you do out there?
I'm a kind of branch off of General Motors. We watch a great big dealerships here in Columbus for Chevrolet.
Okay.
And we patrol with the particular place I have is 4 buildings and 7 lots, and we're in extremely, extremely high crime area, and gets a little spooky sometimes, but we get through the shift and everything.
Did you ever have a very strange situation where anybody ran off with any cars?
Yes, we have. We had, we think it was a different, it was kind of a setup situation. It was different, but we had couple guys one night, was 5 of them, and two kept walking around and acting suspicious. One of them would stand off to the side and go down a side street here. Two would walk up the street, and they was throwing me off, and I've been doing this for 32 years of my life now. And So finally, when I was, we would follow them and check a couple of them out, the other two would come back around, and one night,
geez,
they had a key. Somehow they got a key through the inside somehow, and hopped in a brand new Equinox, backed into the other one, tore it all to pieces, took off. I'd already had the city police en route. They found two of them, called two of the guys, and got the vehicle back within 1 hour.
God, what was it? Was it a chop shop or something?
I'd say that's probably because they hid their car back over the side street, and it was from Cleveland, Ohio. We assume that's what it probably was going on.
It's big money, isn't it?
Yeah. Terrible. It's just the world's just so evil, but I've dealt with a lot of stuff. We've had things to happen off and on, but it gets a little rough, but we get the job done.
Well, you guys have tough jobs, let me tell you.
Yeah. I just wanted to share with you from something real quick. Back in 1999, I lived in a house in Circleville, Ohio, and we don't know if it was haunted or what, but I heard you all talking about the shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been different occasions that at that time that I would wake up in the middle of the night and see the shadow of a man. Didn't have a hat like a hat man. It was just a shadow of a man or human, you know, human shape. But it was kept. It would glow on the ceiling at night. And then there was times I'd see it, and we could hear like a laugh, like a real, real quiet laugh. And this went on for a long time, and it wasn't too long after that we had found out from some people in the town, because the house was over 100 years old that we was buying, stated to me that everybody that's lived in the house, the home is broke up, the divorce has happened twice in that home. Someone had died in the home. We found all this out later afterwards, and it wasn't just about 3 years later, I had went through a divorce.
Oh, that house has got bad karma.
Yeah, it's really bad, and it was a bad situation, and I just wanted to share that with you, you know.
All right, stay safe, Jack.
Hey, do you have a newsletter or something?
Oh, yeah, it's free.
Your operator could, where I could maybe...
We've got two things for you. One is we've got what is called the After Dark Magazine. It's a monthly magazine, just like a magazine. And if you're interested in that, you can just go to our website that's called After Dark, and you'd get two free CDs of old shows with that, by the way. Then there's a free newsletter that you get electronically, put on your computer every morning.
Oh, I don't have no kind of computer.
Okay, so you're just interested in the magazine, I guess.
Coming to this being mailed to the address.
All right.
Or something.
Can you remember this phone number? Here you go.
Hold on.
All right, I'll wait for you.
I'm a little slow here.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Go ahead.
It's 1-888.
1-888.
888. 727.
727.
55-55-05.
And I wish you could ever get to come to Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I'd like to get out there myself, even though you know I'm a Michigan Wolverines fan.
Yes, I know.
But that doesn't make me bad.
I thought I've heard that before.
You got it. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. That Ohio State crushed Michigan this year. Oh, well. That's the way it is. Hey, if you need to email me, just george@coasttocoastam.com. Just send it to me. I got an email from someone today who says, do you really read these? Well, yeah, I try to read as many as I can. I do not respond to every email I get. I can't. But so don't get disappointed. And sometimes I finally got an email from someone that said, this is the fifth time I've emailed you and I've not ever gotten a reply. And I went, well, you just did. So I did that. I'll be back in a moment. Special report on fluoridation next on Coast to Coast AM.